Again, read God's word in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, take up the reading at verse 2. He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and is not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's help, we might consider the first petition of this prayer. We are reading verse 2. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. We find here the Lord Jesus giving us instructions as to how to pray. His disciples had said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you'll notice that at the very beginning, this prayer is pointing them away from themselves to God. It's reminding us that true prayer really should begin with God, and that it is indeed a great privilege to be able to petition the Most High, to go into the court of heaven and make our plea known there. The Lord Jesus is teaching us. He is saying, well, here's the first thing you should be praying for. Hallowed be thy name. Now the word hallowed, it means sanctify. Let the name of God be sanctified. That's what it means. To hallow is to sanctify. And we find that our translators, they kept the old Anglo-Saxon word hallow, as opposed towards the more Latin word sanctify, because it was a word that was familiar to the people. It was one which they had down through the generations, certainly from the Reformation, learned to see. They were aware that really there is no virtue in just innovating things, changing things for change's sake. How often that is what leads to decline in the church, when people use change as a vehicle to bring in other things that are a different agenda. We need to change things. And really often the agenda is to actually clear away what is good and replace it with other things. So this word, although it's not really a word we would use today, it was retained because the people knew it and they knew what it meant. The hallow is to sanctify. What does it mean to sanctify? Well, it means either to make something holy or to set something apart as holy. If you think of ourselves, we are to undergo the process of sanctification, that is the process of becoming holy, are being enabled to die to sin more and to live to righteousness, to become more holy, more like God, more Christ-like. So to sanctify can mean to make something holy. It can also mean to set something apart as holy. Remember the Old Testament. It was the temple and the various things that were in the temple. You had the altar, you had the spoons and the basins and all the other things. Now, you can't make these holy, They are inanimate things, they don't do things, but they could be set apart as holy, taken from a common use, so that that cup or that spoon would be used for your dinner, rather it would be used in the worship of God. Consecrated to God, set apart to God, and in that sense, it was made or viewed, and indeed was holy. Well, when we think of God, He already is holy. He cannot be made holy. And He is one who is set apart. One of the ideas of holiness is to be separate, to be in a different category from the ordinary. And there is God, worshipped by the angels. And they are singing the praises of His holiness. Holy, holy, holy. Well, if you were trying to think of how holy God is, He is completely in a separate level from us. He's different. He is not like us. What then does it mean to sanctify His name? It is to declare or to treat Him as the one who is holy. So, declare Him as holy, or treat His name as holy. You'll notice the word name. Hallowed be thy name. Now, for us, names just tend to be stickers that identify us. And sometimes there's little reason for it, apart from the fact that granny, your father, your grandfather, someone in the father had a similar name, and that's why you got it. But we find in Scripture often names having meanings, and the word name, especially as it speaks of God, is reflecting His character. Perhaps you see that sometimes in nicknames today. Somebody will be given a nickname and it might reflect somebody who's tall and they're given a certain name because they are tall, or because they have red hair, or because they have some characteristic. They are a bubbly person, and well, because of that event, they're called bubbles or something like that. Often nicknames actually speak more of what a person's like. Well, the name of God. The word name there is speaking of the character. God's name, therefore, is that by which He reveals His character. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. May be treated as holy. Have God. May God be treated as holy as He reveals Himself. And the things that are associated with Him. So the psalmist could say, they that know thy name, in thee their confidence will place. They know God's name. They know who He is. They know He's worthy of confidence. He's trustworthy, and He is the Almighty. Therefore, in a day of trouble and need, I can go to Him and find shelter and protection under the shadow of His wings. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. That is, God, as He is revealed by His different names, proves Himself as worthy of our confidence, our trust, our refuge to us. So in this first petition then of this prayer, it is that God's name and character would be sanctified, would be set apart as holy, treated as holy, that God would be seen to be who He is, and treating in the right way, that God would be seen to be holy, worthy of trust, that he would be glorified. And that we, all of us, would glorify him as he reveals himself. That God would enable both us and others to glorify him as he, in all the ways by which he makes himself known, and that God would dispose all things for his own glory. So runs the baptism. Well, let's notice four things. First of all, the priority of this petition. The priority of this petition. Why does it begin here? Why is this the first thing you and I are to pray for? Hallowed be thy name. Well, so the one reason is, it reflects our chief end in life. It reflects our chief end, our primary purpose in life, and therefore we should begin with that. You see, part of our problem as sinners is that we have this tendency to begin with ourselves. We're caught up with ourselves and with our own needs. There you are, bowing before God, you go on your knees, and the first thing you're thinking of is me. What I need, and my concerns, and my fears, and my family, and yes, even my church. But we get caught up with me, my things. And you'll notice that it's God who is the focus of the first three of these petitions. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. And after that, the focus then comes in ourselves. Give us day by day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, lead us not into temptation. That's why the Catechism begins with the statement, man's chief aim is to glorify God and enjoy him for it. Because that's reality. That's the reason God has made us. As Paul could see in Romans 11:36, all things are of him, through him, and to him. He made us, he sustains us, and therefore everything exists for his glory. We do that in Colossians 1 as well. So all that we do should honour him. And therefore the setting apart of God as holy should be our priority. It is giving him praise. It is glorifying him in everything that we are about. And when you look at the Lord Jesus, you find that was true in his life and in his prayer life. You find him in his great high priestly prayer saying, Father, glorify the Son, as the Son hath glorified thee. I have glorified thee. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And there's the Lord Jesus. His desire is that the Father might be glorified. And throughout his life, that was the driving desire and impulse. To do thy will, I take the land, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him who sent me to finish the work. His great desire and his chief happiness was in honouring God. And friends, is it not true that you find your chief happiness and desire when you are caught up with God? When you are able to get away from that obsession with self and you're taken up with magnifying heaven and delighting in. Our chief end is to glorify God. And what's the result? We shall enjoy forever. We shall enjoy God as we glorify Him. That's why we have to tell people that the void that is in their lives will never be satisfied until they learn to honour God and give Him His due. And that their true and lasting happiness, a happiness and a joy and a contentment that continues, whatever the outward circumstances, in sickness and in health, in joy of life and in bereavement, it will continue as we are delighting in God. So friends, here's the aim of true prayer. This is what we are to aim at as we pray and as we worship, that God might be glorified. And without that, our prayers are essentially unacceptable. They're an abomination to God. Remember how two of Aaron's sons wanted to offer incense before God, something that was forbidden. And the Lord said, I will be sanctified and those that draw near to me, and before the people I will be glorified. That's how it must be as we worship. You find in the book of Malachi, you find the Lord challenging the Jews in the days after the captivity, Malachi 1:6, a son honours his father, a servant his master. If I be a father, where is my honour? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise thy name, and where they were offering half-hearted, polluted bread, they would offer any of their own sacrifice. They weren't giving God the glory. So we begin with the hallowing of God's name, because that's the right place to begin. There's another reason. It sets the proper context for our desires. It gives the proper context for us to set forth the desires before God. We're coming to pray. And you've got usually concerns. You have worries. You're praying for things. You might be praying for the right things. But the question is, do you have the right motives? Sometimes we wonder, am I praying for the right things? But at other times, we are. We pray for the conversion of our families. We pray for the building up of the church. We pray that God would enable us to be a witness in our community. We pray for health and strength and many other things. Pray for grace to fight against the evil one. The question is, are we doing it with the right motive? You remember how James spoke of people who, when prayed, they asked amiss that they might consume it in their lust. It was a selfishness of it all. It was what they wanted. And rather than having God-centered, God-glorifying desires, it was perhaps because it gave them comfort, made their life easy, or it made them feel better. You can have pray for the right things, but the wrong way, as well as pray for the wrong things. So, if we begin with, hallowed be thy name, we are given the proper context to our desires. And especially when troubles come, and you and I are liable to complain and wonder, why is God allowing this to come on me? How is it that this is happening to the church? Well, as we hallow God's name, our mouths will close and we'll stop moaning and complaining about God's dealings with us. And why is it this is happening? We will be still. Oh, that He is God. We'll be kept from sin then. We'll be kept from straying as we focus on God. And you look at the Lord Jesus in the midst of his trials. There he is. And he is growing anxious because the cross is approaching. Remember, he's a true man as well as truly God. And in John 12, at verse 27, we find him praying. Now is my soul troubled, and yet what shall I say? Save me from this hour. That's the natural thing. We might say the right thing even to do, because it's not right to just want to destroy ourselves. It is all. What shall I say? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is why I'm here, to go to the cross. Father, glorify thy name. That's his prayer. Help me. Help me to go through with this. His desire is that God might be glorified, and that as he goes to the cross, it might be God being glorified in what he is doing, that he'll be able to give his life, and that in the giving of his life, no easy thing, if you think of what it was involved, it would be the way of salvation for sinners. And the disciples are to do the same thing. Glorify thy name. That will keep your desires right. Maybe we could see this is a prayer for all the heathens. This is a prayer that we will never stop desiring to be fulfilled. There will be a day when you will not need prayer. That's true. You're in the grave. After the resurrection, you won't be worrying about there will be a day when you wouldn't have to pray anymore for forgiveness or deliverance from temptation. What a wonderful day that will be. You'll be made perfect in holiness. There's a day when you're not going to have to pray some of these prayers. Surely in heaven, you will always be hard and decide. The priority of this tradition. Let's remember that. Our own prayers. Secondly, more briefly, the urgency of this petition. The urgency of this petition. In the original, the word that's used for hallowed be thy name, the word hallowed, it is the form of it is speaking of a certain urgency or eagerness for the fulfillment of this plea. In other words, it's not half hearted. Oh well, I suppose it would be good if God's name was hallowed, set apart. Rather, there's an urgency here. Let it be done. Let it be done now completely. What that is doing is surely reflecting the love of God. If the love of God, we will want his name. Hallowed. If we respect, admire, things you love, honor, you say, then you'd be very offended if somebody was trashing the name of our family or queen. You could apply that to many other things. Well, he was the king of things. We love the Lord. Surely, we want his name, power, in our own lives, may we give him his place. And in the lives of others, may we give him his place. May he the center of our universe. Because he is the center of the universe. And may he be the center of other people's lives. So what do you find with the angel? You've got it in Isaiah 6, as the praise God, rather than Revelation 4 and 5. Holy, 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 thrice holy, superlatively holy, indescribably superlatively holy, in the name of God. There's an urgency here, because we've come to know God. We spent long enough not acknowledging. Lord, help us to glorify you. Love the Father. Well, you want him to be acknowledged in your own life. You want him to be acknowledged in the lives of others. And you say with the psalmist, rivers of waters run down my mouth. I saw how wicked men were honest. Do not keep thy words at me. When you see the world being honest, men trashing the name of God, it dishonors God. As well as leads to the destruction of those who do such things. An urgency. Let us have an urgency about this thing. May thy name. Thirdly, the necessity of this petition. Hallowed be thy name. Don't we need this? Because we need grace to keep the focus in God. We need to make it a matter of prayer. And we're praying that we ourselves may be enabled to give God his and to hallow his name. Because we're so prone to focus on the earth, to get taken up with our needs and ourselves, and we need grace to focus on God. We require the help of the Spirit. And we know that we will only do so as we know him better, and as he reveals himself to us. Lord, teach me who thou art. Surely that's what this prayer is. Hallowed be thy name. Well, may I know as I work to reveal myself. Teach me more of thyself. Help me to understand who thou art. And thy greatness and thy glory. Help me to see thy ways. Help me to know the truth and to apply the truth. Help me to see thy hand at all things. Isn't it true that often we fail to do that? Well, we would never deny God is not in control of the universe, the God of providence, ordering all things after the counsel of his own will. And for his glory, sustaining all things. But it's another thing, actually seeing it in our daily life. How we need grace to keep focusing God until it comes to me when we need this care. And don't we need grace to seek God's glory above all else? For the sin who makes us self-absorbed. So there's that struggle within your heart. The flesh lusting against the spirit. The spirit is saying, glorify God. That's what you desire. And then what do you find? Self begins to creep in. You become self-absorbed. And you seek your own things rather than the things of God. You seek your own glory. And, well, look what I've done. And aren't I wonderful? There is that. Not my will, but thy will be done. You see him there, before he goes to Judea before he goes to the cross, as the reckoning John found. There are these difficulties. The escape, the suffering, if you could, lawfully. I still remain faithful and obedient to the Lord. What's his desire? Glorify thy name. That's what I'll go on. We need grace to glorify God above all other things. Trials will come, you'll be challenged. Are you going to be faithful to God? Are you going to compromise? Sickness comes. Are you going to complain and moan? Are you going to accept God's dealings with you? Persecution might arise. Well, we'll obey God rather than man. It's only as we are praying, hallowed be thy name, that we will respond in the right way when these challenges come, that we will actually be enabled to live to his glory in a new place, because without that we will be. And therefore let us sincerely pray, hallowed be thy name, Lord, help me. Others to live to thy glory and overrule all things for thy glory. Well, let's notice fourth the breadth of this petition. We draw things together and we see how this really works, and surely we're praying, may God be sanctified, hallowed, as he reveals himself in creation. We know that creation is the work of God. We know that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies teach concerning his handiworks. The world at large might live in denial, but it is a foolish denial that God's eternal power and Godhead are not revealed. The very universe cries out, God has designed it, your body does. Lord, help me to see these things. Hallowed be thy name. God has revealed himself in creation. Well, help me to see in the creation thy great work of creation. Help me to see this glory. Many of the men who laid the foundations for modern science in the 16 and 1700s and even the 1800s were those who viewed themselves as glorifying God in their exploration. They were finding out how the world worked, or the gravity, and why did an apple drop to the ground? How did you describe that? But as they were doing that, they saw themselves as tracing the handprints of the Creator. I've seen those evidences of his work, and as one of them put it, I think it was Newton, I might be wrong. He was thinking God's thoughts after him. God had these thoughts. He had planned that this was how things would work, and he had set about, say, the law of gravity, as scientists would describe it today, as being part of the way the world would function. So that your feet are on the ground. So that things fall to the ground at a certain rate, whether it's in the moon, or Mars, or here and there, that's the way it all works. And that description, this great discovery, it was only discovering what God had designed and planned. He was thinking God's thoughts after him. You see the wonders God's creative power. He brings us into the problem with us, especially today, in such a secularized world that it's so very easy for us to see things happening to keep God out of the picture, because the world does. Let us sanctify him. Let him be sanctified in our hearts and all that we need in the hearts of others, as he is revealed in creation. You and I, as we look at the sun and the moon and the stars, or consider the hills, or look into the seas, or think of your body, well, then this God's wonderful plan. See it all as part of God's revelation of his creative power and wisdom and majesty. He's the one who made it. He keeps it in view. See how excellent in all the earth, Lord, our Lord, is thy name. Who has thy glory far advanced above the starry plain. Who is like God like thee? The may he be sanctified as he believes himself. What about providence? May he be sanctified as he reveals himself in providence. Here's God, and he's upholding all things by the word of his power. It is his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Let us see God's hand of providence. And if the good things, bad things, he's in control. He's bringing it into being. At times we see it when we're preserved from a dangerous situation. There was God ordering all things well, that I might be kept secure. I can remember once the brakes failed in my car, and considering the road that we could go down, the 30-mile twisty single track road, we set up a very dangerous place, but this could have happened in a safer place. Having driven Inverness all the way through Fort William, even heading further west, could have happened in a safer place. And yes, you think that. I wonder if God's care, his providential care is. When the brakes jam at other times, or some other car problem, how easily we just forget the providence of God. Sometimes we see it, or we might see it more in the little things of life, and delight in his providential dealings with us. Let him be sanctified as he reveals himself in his providence, and he has helped us to submit to those providences, and to know that, yes, he might bring me through strange routes. Strange things might happen, but it's a plan and purpose in the book, even if I don't understand. Lord, teach me these things. Remember Paul writing to the Philippians, don't worry about me in jail. Me being in jail here in Rome isn't a disaster. It has turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. That's good coronavirus. Even though we might think it's so negative, and there have been very negative things, but it should turn out for the furtherance of the gospel, the advancement of God's purpose. Remember that. And pray that you would seek good and merit of these things. May he be sanctified as he reveals himself in creation and providence. What about his word? Think of God's names and titles and attributes, reveal them clearly in the scriptures. We'll learn about God. Now, Lord, help me to learn. Help me to have a right view of thee. Help me to have great views of who thou art. Don't you find that as you go on, the more you learn about God, the more you realize how little you do. How great and glorious is his way. He can speak of God as the one who is infinite, eternal, and unchanged. As the one who is triune, as the one who is without body, parts, or passions. You can say these things, you can prove them from Scripture, and at the end of the day, the more you understand, the more you realize how little you really do understand. A great promise. Help me, Lord, to sanctify thy name. Help me to treat with reverence thee and everything connected with thee. To trust thee, to obey thee, to worship thee as I should. Help me to bring others to love. Keep me from unbelief, distrusting, saying you're unfaithful. Keep me from keeping your word with me. Help me give peace. Hallelujah. I think of how he's revealed in redemption. Then especially we see the glory of God with you. The wisdom, the power, the grace, the justice of God. Doesn't that bring the seriousness of the gentleman also? Is to cast aspersions on God where he is most glorified. And that, which you might say, is the climax of his self-revelation in the cross. Father, glorify the Son, and the Son and also glorify me. If in the cross of Christ you see the wisdom and the power and the grace and the justice of God as nowhere else, to treat it with contempt, to ignore it, to reject it, is to treat it, his mercy with contempt. Serious and we need to make judgment and make the evil to that, but to embrace it up. A final thing, baby sanctifying the aromas. Lord, help me so to live that I might be a living epistle, that I might be the reflector of that glory of God, that I might do nothing that would bring something negative, and cast aspersions on God. There you are, you're a believer. One of God's children. You're living up to the name of the part of God's family, you're keeping up the family name. You're a living epistle. People read you, but they don't read the Bible. Help us, Lord, to be wise. That by our good works, others might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Keep us from doing anything, O Lord, by which thy name or thy gospel might be blasphemed. Lord, help me to set upon thy name and my mind of the way younger. Friends, we've got prayer. There's only a few words. Hallowed be thy name. But it's such a challenge. Let us make this the beginning of our course. Let us make this our dealing. Let us love God's name. Let us seek his glory. This is our chief end in life. This will bring us our happiness. May God teach us what it is to have this deep. Our Lord and God, bless thy truth to us, that we might indeed give thee honour and glory, that we might set apart thee and thy name and all connected with thee as we should. Lord, so often we fear, grant us thy grace, and all that more and more. We might live to thy glory.